Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. This is episode 59. Episode 59. This one's titled Respect Talk, A Husband's Mother Tongue. Respect Talk, A Husband's Mother Tongue. I'm Jonathan Egerich. As always, I'm joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich. We're so glad that you could be with us this week or whenever you're listening to this in the future, because I think that these podcasts get listened to dozens and dozens and hundreds of times, after we've recorded them. I even go back sometimes and look at episode one and just kind of see the listen count, and it's by far and away still the most listened to one, and that number continues to go up. So again, as we've shared, we try to create a topical catalog with these. And last week we did an episode called My Wife is Leaving Me, and kind of a husband's burden about the mistakes that he'd made, some confessions that he'd made, how he needed to be more loving to his wife. And well, we don't always do a perfect job of going back and forth. I think that we're, kind of shifting back towards the other side, this week in some respects. So I don't know, anything you wanted to add to my introductory comments here?
Well, on that My Wife is Leaving Me, a man wrote how he listened to that episode and said it described his situation perfectly, and he is seeking to do everything he can to win her back, and just his personal disappointment over not paying attention to those signs that we addressed in this podcast, that there are clearly factors that arise that, become indicators that, are kind of obvious if you pay attention to them. So we want to encourage every man to think through, because some guys are in complete shock. My wife left me, and the guys are stunned, but everybody around them saw it coming except for him. And the question is, why sometimes are we the last ones to see what is obvious to everybody else? And that's because there are some clear indicators. But one of the reasons we don't see it is that she shuts down, she withdraws, she goes quiet, she stops coming at us complaining. She just is quiet around us and, just doesn't seem to have any negativity. And so many guys have said, I thought the relationship was better than it's ever been. The last year has been super. And all the while she was planning on leaving him. But because she was basically cordial and wasn't negative, he felt wonderful about the relationship, and then suddenly gets delivered with some divorce papers and is stunned beyond stunned. And so we want to challenge guys to read between the lines, and those really kind of are obvious signs, and we address it there. But as you point out, we want to always go back and forth. We challenge men, now we want to challenge the wives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and before we do that, I also want to mention right now, as we record this podcast, we're entering the fall season. We've got a couple upcoming conferences. There's a parenting conference in Southern California in Corona, California. You can register and see more about that on our website. And so we're encouraging you, if you're a parent out there and maybe in geographical proximity, maybe not, you'd fly out to something like this. This can be a powerful conference, but I'll let you maybe give a little 30-second synopsis on what the parenting conference is, because that's been a change for you in the last year, as you did marriage conferences for, the first 10-plus years of the ministry, and now you've added this.
Right. Well, they can register at loveandrespect.com, but we are addressing a parent's need to be honored, to be respected. That is a unique niche that we are unpacking, and how do we then deal with those moments where we feel disregarded and disrespected as a parent? And we have looked at everything in Scripture dealing with parenting, plus my PhD is in child and family ecology. And as we point out, I waited until you kids were grown that you could speak back into these principles and concepts, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are very excited about this conference. So it's going to be in Corona, as you said, California. And if you've got a friend in California, or if you want to fly in, please do. it's not too late to register by any stretch of the imagination. I'd love to see you there.
And then the marriage conference will be in Texas, and mm-hmm. that is this fall as well. And you can check that out at loveandrespect.com also. If you haven't had a chance, we got our new website up. We're about to release another digital product here in the next month, and we're excited to continue doing so. So we appreciate those of you that have been over there or are sharing those with others, purchasing gifts for others. We couldn't do it without you. But also, as we think about the fall season, just briefly, this is a time when many people start small groups in their church, in their homes, in their neighborhoods. So we've got four offerings on that if you're thinking about impacting others around you. And we hope you find those meaningful and useful.
I'm going to also be at the Dream Center in LA September 10th, and then the Corona is the 11th and 12th. But we're going to be speaking at that tremendous ministry. It's a Thursday night, I guess, 2,000 people.
LA
area, 2,000 show up on September 10th on that. And it's huge ministry, just an exciting thing. We're also just FYI, we're going to be highlighting for you here that we're going to be speaking in Mexico to a conference there of people coming around the world. You could pray for us on that. Also going to be in Quebec, Montreal area for a French speaking presentation of Love and Respect. So we've got some encouraging things coming up, and I always appreciate those of you who would pray for us that the Lord would be kind and use us in those situations.
Yes, thank you. Well, episode 59, Respect Talk, a husband's mother tongue. Why don't you lead us into this?
Well, at our conferences, I use this analogy. I say, what would it be like if you lived in Mongolia? You're an American, you only speak English, you don't speak Mongolese, and you had been in Mongolia for 3-4 years, and you know, you haven't heard anybody speak English in that whole time, and you don't speak Mongolese. In fact, you're in the public market area. Thousands of people are maybe lingering around on a Saturday morning shopping and open market area, and it's all gibberish to you. All you hear is Mongolese, and you don't understand a word anybody is saying. You're in this foreign country, and everything is foreign. And so you're just standing there kind of twiddling your thumbs when suddenly you hear somebody about 40 feet away say, the Detroit Lions won the Super Bowl. Now, apart from that being a miracle, those of us who are Detroit Lion fans, we keep hoping, we keep yearning. Jonathan and David, my sons, have been fans of the Detroit Lions. But apart from the fact that they would win the Super Bowl, and apart from that being a miracle, what is it that that fellow who hasn't heard English spoken for 3 or 4 years is going to do when he hears in English someone shout, the Detroit Lions won the Super Bowl? Well, I mean, everybody knows he's going to make a beeline, you know, toward that person, try to find them. Who are they? They speak English. You know, I remember years ago when I was in India, I was in the northeast section of India, and there was no English was being spoken, and I was there teaching the poorest of the pastoral poor, and no one was speaking English, and I was in a restaurant when suddenly I heard someone in a booth about 8-10 feet away speaking in an English accent. I immediately got up and went to them. When you hear your mother tongue, it's an interesting thing. You move toward it. Even if you're the greatest introvert, the world's number one introvert who, you know, doesn't do anything. In fact, you know when an introvert likes you, don't you, Jonathan?
Yes.
They look at your shoes, not their own.
Mm-hmm. You love that joke.
I love that joke. But so you could be the number one introvert and still you're going to make a beeline. Now, what's the point of all of that? Men have a mother tongue. And I take the point that our mother tongue is honor, it's respect, the respect talk. And when we don't hear it in our marriage, you know, we just kind of feel at a loss. But when we do hear it, we move toward our wives to connect, to talk, to communicate. And what's interesting, though, and maybe you can read what I've written here, early on in the courtship time, I mean, women instinctively, and they'll all tell me this, that they kind of unthinkingly, but they get it. They did speak, you know, words of admiration. They spoke the respect talk. Have you seen that in people's courtship time, Jonathan? What is it that women are doing that maybe they don't see? They are speaking that mother tongue.
Yeah, I mean, I think that occurs often. I mean, it's you know, words of praise, words of admiration, a culture of, you know, appreciation, right? And we, it feels like it comes naturally, right? Because of the high of the moment, we're in love, you know, we're seeing all the good and wonderful possibilities, you know, that exist. So clearly, though, the what's demonstrated is the ability to do it,
yes,
right? And then obviously something changes. I don't know. Did you want me to read this?
Go ahead and read that. Yeah.
Take Tom, for example. In courtship, he heard the respect language from Lisa. I believe in you. I admire you. He moved toward Lisa. He proposed. Tom concluded that Lisa would always speak this way, at least more often than not. It never dawned on him that Lisa's glow would turn sullen and sour.
That's right. And so there's this glow, and every woman will recognize that. But then the first year of marriage, that glow leaves because of this sour look, and he disappoints her. And read what I said there about that, you know, after living in the land of marriage.
After living in the land of marriage for several years, Tom hears less and less respect talk. Though he hears, I love you, rarely, if ever, I respect you. When Tom fails to be as loving as he ought to be, Lisa loses feelings of respect and at times feels intense dislike. She would be hypocritical to speak words of respect. I feel he doesn't deserve my respect. Even so, Lisa's love energizes her to help Tom change so she can respect him. Thus, she begins her, quote-unquote, helpful critique, ever so often, of his inadequate performance.
You need to be more sensitive. You need to say you're sorry. You need to listen to me more. You need to share your feelings. You need to tell me that you love me. You need to make me feel special. And all of those things begin to be voiced and mouthed by a good-willed woman who's not mean-spirited, but she's saying, I need you to love me. I need you to love me. I need you to love me. She's good-hearted in that. But ladies, I want you to ask yourself this question. What does that begin to feel like to the husband? The message we begin to hear at a certain point is, you're inadequate, and I don't respect you. And if he says, you're not respecting me, there are women who say, I have to be honest with you. I love you a ton, but I don't feel an iota of respect for you right now. Mm-hmm. And when she says that innocently, what does a guy do, Jonathan, at that moment in time? What's your speculation?
Well, I think he begins to shut down, right? I mean, I can't live up to these expectations. I'm not good enough, right? And there's nothing I can do to change her mind. And he goes off and does his own thing, and he stops approaching her, right? He stops, right, feeling energized to move towards her, even though maybe some of the stuff that she said, as you indicated, is legitimate, right? It needs to be addressed, right? And I think not only is the response can be from wives, right? He's not respectable, but I think he really is inadequate. He needs to change. He's not good enough, right? And yet, if it's said that way or given off with a certain attitude, it's certainly not motivating or energizing to anybody, right?
Yes.
Let alone the most significant, you know, person in your life.
And that's why a wife has to communicate those truthful statements in a way that doesn't feel disrespectful. And the question is, how do you do that? You say, I need your strength. I need something that only you can do for me. I say these things not because I'm trying to send a message of disrespect to you. If you're hearing me, that's not my intent. I'm feeling vulnerable. I feel like I have a need that only you can meet, and I'm trying to appeal to you because when you meet that need, it just fills my heart. I need your strength. Now, that kind of language will get through, and if you choke over the thought of speaking that way, then you need to reflect on how you came across during courtship. Some guys think, it was bait and switch, baby. I mean, she did all of that during courtship, but she stopped it 6 months into the marriage. You, Emerson, this was classic bait and switch. So I do say to gals, you know, you did do this during courtship, and it was genuine. Now, though, you feel you'd be hypocritical in doing it. But you've got to just back up and say, you know what, do I need his strength? Am I saying this because I'm really trying to just put him down as an in and itself? Or am I trying to convey these sentiments because I have a need that I want him to meet? And if, in fact, this is really a means to that end, that you want him to meet your personal needs and because you feel vulnerable when he doesn't, then honor him for that. There's no reason for dishonoring a person. I mean, the deepest underlying motive here is that you have a need that he can meet. And so why not compliment him rather than complain to him? It's just a subtlety there, but the power is significant. But you have to stay with this. You can't just do it once or twice, and he's watching the Detroit Lions lose again, and he's not paying attention to you. Don't get this is a lifetime of just continuing to do this. And he's going to not listen. He's not going to respond always. He's going to be inadequate. But the same thing holds true, and this is one of the points that we make, is that and you said about the guy shutting down, eventually he does, because if you have to say to your wife, do you respect me, you know the answer in the asking, right? I mean, if you have to ask, plus he's going to perhaps hear, well, no, I don't feel any respect for you. But when you reverse that, if you come to your husband and say, you're supposed to love me, he doesn't say, well, you don't deserve my love. But you can say to him, you don't deserve my respect. So what happens is men cannot articulate what they feel because the respect idea is to be earned in the culture. So he grows quieter and quieter and quieter. He would like to say to you, I feel inadequate, I feel disrespected by you, but at best you give him the gift of silence rather than draw him out and say, that's not my intent. But now think about it. You can turn around and tell him that he's unloving and he ought to love you no matter how lovable you are. And so it's very unfair to our sons, and this is part of where we're campaigning. We need to do this differently because our boys are not going to be able to express their deepest need, and our sons are going to shut down. Jonathan, why do you feel this is so important for us to get this message out?
Well, I was hoping that you could comment on just this idea, just kind of what kind of comes up in a man in terms of what these words, you know, do. You know, do to him, do for him, right? I mean, what was going on inside the man when courtship was, you know, occurring, right? I mean, why was that so? She thinks the world of me, right? She wants to be with me. I'm going to get down on my knee and propose to her. I mean, what was going on at this time? And while it can't repeat itself necessarily in terms of that courtship period, because the courtship period is that period and it's something special and unique, but done consistently by a wife over time, the speaking of the mother tongue. I mean, what's going on in the man when he hears that?
Good question. And there are many in the culture that say it's feeding his narcissism. This is all about his ego. This is all about his self-centeredness. And I would say, look, there are a percentage of men out there that are narcissistic, and there are a percentage of women out there that are prima donnas. Okay. Each of us has to decide, am I married to this? I mean, we're profiling men as narcissistic. We're profiling men negatively because men are not responding in a way that women want. And so now we're saying there's something inherently wrong with him. But to your question, what is it that's going on? This motivates a man to be loving. He has this desire then to soften, to move toward you, to connect, to talk. Will he do it like you do naturally? No. But when you give him the gift of honor, give him the gift of respect toward his spirit, you don't respect evil behavior, but you come across respectfully. No human being is motivated by contempt. No husband feels fond feelings of love and affection as hard toward a wife he thinks despises who he is as a human being. It simply does not work with any person. I don't know how we came to this point where we've said, if he doesn't deserve my respect, then the logic is he deserves your disrespect. No, he doesn't, and he's certainly not going to respond to it. But we're also saying, don't respect bad behavior. We're talking about respectfully in your demeanor confronting bad behavior. But we're also looking at it proactively. As you communicate things about him that you believe in him, that you admire about him, there are things about him you don't like. There are things about you that he doesn't like. But you don't go around fixated on that. So you look at those things about him you do like, you appreciate. Maybe he's a man of integrity. Maybe he's got great industry, who works hard. Maybe he's a great father. Look for those things. I have women make out a list of 10 things that are positive and then speak to him. Now, when you do that, the question is, what's going on in his soul, which is the question you're asking. The way I say it, it just energizes him. As you would feel if he brought home an unexpected card that said he loves you, are you going to be energized by that? And how do we describe what that energy is? Should we say that you're a prima donna because you light up and you're all excited and you just glow? Obviously, you're self-centered, right? He's feeding some egotistical need. No, we wouldn't even begin to frame it that way. But when it comes to the respect side of the equation, we've framed it from the standpoint that there's inherently something wrong with men. You're feeding his narcissism and you ought not to do it. And I'm taking the position, if he's a good-willed man, you're going to motivate him, energize him, and he's going to respond in a loving way. You're motivating him. That's why he proposed to you. That's why he got down on his knees and handed you a ring, because he thought you would believe in him, admire him, honor him and respect him for who he is apart from his performance, that you saw him created in the image of God and you believed in the person that Jesus Christ believed him to be, for those of us who are Christ followers. And he thought you'd always have that view of his spirit, even though he had a weakness in his flesh. Does that get at the question?
Yeah, no, I think that answers it. And you may have answered this other question that I have in part, but the flip side of it is a wife is saying, look, if I begin to talk this way to him, the fear is he's going to do what? He's going to respond. I mean, I guess on the one hand, he's not going to do anything. Well, that was useless, right? And that's that idea of consistency, doing that. You know, you're setting the conditions for the most positive response on his part. But what's a fear if I begin to honor his spirit or talk in a respectful way that he's going to, that something bad is going to happen? I mean, what's the fear of some wives?
Well, I think the fear is, there's a couple fears. One, that he's not going to respond. It's just not going to work. But one of the points we make is God commands a wife to respect and a husband to love. A husband is to be loving whether his wife responds or not. The command is there. And you're to put on respect as a woman, regardless of your husband's response, trusting that you're touching the heart of Christ in doing that. But yeah, there's this fear that he's not going to respond. But I also think that fear should be taken a look at. If you really have a fear that he's not going to respond, then why are you doing this? This isn't about who he's going to become. It's about who God calls you to be. You're going to be a woman of dignity whether he responds to you or not. And if you have a fear that he's not going to respond, then you're doing it to get him to respond. Even though I've said it will motivate and energize, there's a fine line between motivation and manipulation. And so at the end of the day, you simply got to say, you know what? I'm going to do this because this is who I'm going to be. When I'm upset, I'm not going to move into contempt. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to say things very truthfully. But you can say anything to anybody if you say it lovingly and respectfully. Truth will carry its own weight when it's delivered in love and respect. Person may or may not respond, but it's foolish to think that I've got to show contempt along with the truth to get the person to awaken. I mean, that just long-term simply won't work. So there is this fear that if I do this, and here's one of the fears, that he's not going to respond, and now what do I have? Mm-hmm. I don't have any other recourse. Now what am I going to do? And so I think there's a fear that this may be the last resort. I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to be hopeless and helpless. And my statement is everything you do toward Christ counts, even if your husband doesn't respond. So you need to allow your husband to be the opportunity presented to you to show Christ that you're being obedient to the revelation that he's given to the Christ-following woman. But you've got to be married to one bad dude. You know, over time, for him not to respond. Now, he's not going to be a woman. You mustn't say, oh, I think he's, oh, now, oh, Elizabeth, let's just talk for the next couple hours because you've honored me. No, that's not going to be what happens. But over the months, you're just going to see a softening, and he's going to be more responsive. 80-20, I say. 20%, he's still going to blow it. He's just not, because things that are important to you aren't important to him. You know, I talk about anniversary cards or birthday cards. He doesn't care if you get him an anniversary card. So he has a tendency to not care if he gets you one. I'm not justifying that. I'm just saying he tends to react as a male. And just as you value things and say this is the cat's meow doesn't necessarily mean that it is. So you've got to give that 20% of grace here and say, you know what, I got to give him some slack. He's not going to be perfect. But over the course of time, you're going to find the guy responding more positively to you.
Mm-hmm. No, thanks for answering both those questions. And I think, you know, we've got some examples here of women who tried this, but you've also got some examples of how to speak, respect, talk. And I didn't know which order you kind of wanted to maybe go over.
Well, you jump in on what you want there.
Well, I think maybe ending with some of the examples might be powerful to hear some of these wives' testimonies. But I think this was my next question. And, you know, you've obviously answered this in different ways at different places, even in other podcasts and in writing. But you've got some examples here of, you know, a wife's asking, well, what does it even look like to talk respectfully, you know, to my husband? So to the wife that asks you that question, I mean, what does that look like?
Right. Well, I just had an email from a woman who said, you know, I may be dumb, but how do you define respect? She's read the Love and Respect book, and I said, well, there's 6 chapters under the acronym CHAIR, CHAIRS, and that those reflect the desires of a man, and you need to honor and respect those desires. He's not necessarily going to follow through on performance, but you need to honor and respect those inner desires that God planted there. But what happens is that when women read these chapters, none of that's relevant to them. It's not their mother tongue. And so they tend to just keep reading, waiting for something that's going to strike them as emotionally exciting. And if they don't come across it, then they think, well, that's just not relevant. It's like a guy that doesn't like to hug his wife. And so you put number one in bold letters, hug your wife on a daily basis. Well, that's not important to me. So, Emerson, give me something that I can do. Well, I just did. Well, no, but that's not important to me. And so what we have to do is say, wait a minute, this is not about you hugging her because it's important to you. It's about hugging her because it's important to her. And so, two wives, when you read about respect and what it looks like, read the Love and Respect book, those six chapters, and then begin to look for ways, and we share at the end of the chapter specific things you can do that will honor him. It's your foreign tongue. It's not going to be natural for you, but just do this in faith, okay? Just trust me here. But one thing you can immediately do, and women say, I have no idea what respect looks like. And I say, okay, do you know what disrespect looks like? And Jonathan, almost 100% of the women say, yes, I've got that down quite well. I know how to be disrespectful. Okay, here's the beginning thing. Soften that. You're not going to lose power. You're not going to lose influence. You're not going to lose a sense of your identity. The feminist team is not going to come at your door and knock and say you are a disgrace and you are a traitor and you've gone AWOL. You're not going to lose anything by softening your disrespectful reaction. We've had countless women who have softened it, and their men have had this almost jerk look. It's like, who are you and what did you do with my wife? Men can tell. In fact, did you know? Women want the relationship more positive. Men will say, I want the relationship less negative. So you don't even have to be proactive on this. Just be less reactive and don't believe for one second you're going to lose power. Now you say, but he doesn't listen to me unless I scream at him or whatever. I get that. Of course he's going to look at you, but that doesn't mean you're winning his heart. You're just getting his attention. We're talking about winning his heart. I mean, every guy I know says, my wife shuts up when I just start yelling at her with harshness and anger and curse her out. So it works, Emerson. Oh, great. I say that's true pragmatics. That's just wonderful. Because it's utilitarian for you, because it works, because she shuts up, then you've concluded screaming at her is the way to go. I mean, we'd all say that's ludicrous. Well, I say the same thing. How did we get to a point where wives think they can react in this disrespectful way? Because, well, it works. He finally listens to me. He gets tears in his eyes. That's because you're killing him. He's dying inside. God did not design him that way. And yet the culture is giving you permission to do this. So you've got to then say to yourself, look, I've got to pull back from this. Yeah, he may deserve judgment. He may deserve this. But at the end of the day, is he a good-willed man? And if he is, over the course of time, when you do this, he's going to soften. It just works.
And so these kind of six examples that you give here that are short, pithy phrases, you want to go over those real quick?
Read those, yeah.
So here are some ways that you can speak respect talk. Tell him that you value his desire to work and achieve. Praise his desire to provide for you and protect you. Thank him for his desire to be strong for you. Express appreciation for his desire to make good decisions. Thank him for his desire to give good advice. Tell him why you like him. I think a key as I was reading those is the word desire, right?
Yes.
It's not
as
it's
opposed
not,
to not, performance.
It's, yeah. So again, this is that that idea of, not to necessarily take anything from the self-esteem movement because it's got enough problem, but it was always this thing of we're not praising our children for what they've, kind of accomplished, right? It's this idea of we're on some level just kind of appreciating the effort, right? The desire, the drive to do something, even though the ability may not be there, right? And so I think that you can, this is where it taps into the spirit of the man. He may feel inadequate in this area or his performance or behavior in this area may not be, great. And yet you kind of tap into who do you think he wanted to be? Who do you think he wants to be? Where do you see his effort? Where do you see his desire? Right. And to tap into that.
That's exactly right. And I would say that, there is a woman in every little girl and there's a little girl in every woman. Right. And so all women know that you can't speak to a little 5-year-old with harshness. You can't speak to a 25-year-old with harshness or a 45-year-old. God has designed her spirit to be hypersensitive to that. Whereas, guys can, we can kind of blurt out to each other and we don't necessarily personalize it. We just drop it, forget it, move on. I'm not justifying it. I'm simply saying there is a male and female difference. So how is it we've come to a point where, in the case you gave, Jonathan, a mother's very intuitive about speaking honorably to her son's desire, even though he didn't pick up his toy. She has a way of saying, you know, I appreciate your effort here. I really do. I am so encouraged by what you did here. That blesses me. But we've got some additional things that we need to get done. She instinctively, intuitively does that. But she has now failed to do that toward her husband. And I think part of it is the feeling that she's vulnerable, that she may be weaker, that she needs him, and she kind of expects him to get this, that he's the leader, that she should be able to depend upon him. All those things can be rooted in virtue. But at the end of the day, you're both adults, you're both human beings, and there is a little boy in that man, just as there is a man in the little boy. And we've got to understand that if you show contempt as you're delivering a truthful message, you're going to lose his heart, and he's simply not going to hear you. He's going to be in Mongolia, and he simply won't hear his mother tongue, and he'll just stay quiet and in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. I'll read a couple of these examples that we have here. A woman writes, "There are still bumps, but they are minor in comparison to the previous last 2 years. I remain respectful, and my husband continues to respond in a positive fashion. I am learning that he is part grizzly bear and part teddy bear. Surprisingly, showing respect to the grizzly is taming the way he relates to me."
Mm. That was well said. Read another one there.
Another woman said, "I was so in the dark about a man's number one need being respect, even over love. Now, instead of just telling him that I love him, I have begun telling him what I appreciate and admire about him. He eats it up." You want me to do the last one from the man?
Yeah.
A man was leading a marriage class, and he wrote, "I found it significant that today there were more men than women in one of the sessions. The men really look forward to it, which is rather unusual for a marriage class. You are speaking our, quote, mother tongue."
Mm-hmm. And lastly, a woman says, "I didn't know something from God could be so easy. I have believed in God my whole life, but I was not taught this before. But it does make so much sense. If you respect your husband," and we're talking here about his spirit, not his bad behavior, "please hear me on that. I think you have, and you can do this. You can show respect toward his spirit, even though his behavior is not respectable, just as he's to love you, though you're not always lovable," right? Fair is fair, unconditional love, unconditional respect. That's what Ephesians 5:33 is teaching. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 is specifically teaching unconditional respect toward the spirit of husband. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. So she says, "But it does make so much sense. If you respect your husband, he will love you. It may not always be in the ways I love him, but he does in his own special way. I thank God every day for letting me learn this."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are powerful testimonies. And again, being around the message for, you know, 15 plus years now, I mean, I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of similar testimonies, right? And so while we've, you know, used similar examples today in the podcast that you use in other podcasts or on the blogs or whatever, I mean, we're always kind of attempting to approach this message from a different angle and from a different example. And because I do think on many levels it is foreign to many people still, and enlightening, and just a fresh way to hear it. So, I mean, as always, I hope it was meaningful, to people. And I don't know, any last words from you?
Well, pray that the Detroit Lions win the Super Bowl.
I could pray that. That would be a miracle.
Well, let me just pray for that wife out there today who is struggling. My dad attempted to strangle my mother to death when I was, you know, little, and she separated for 6 years. I don't minimize physical abuse. We're not talking about staying in harm's way. We're talking about a basic good-willed man who fails to be who you want him to be and has his moments as you do. You have your PMS moments, pre-murder syndrome, as I say. I mean, we're sinners. We fail. But where I'm imperfect, it's because of the circumstances. Where my spouse is imperfect, it's because I got a rotten disposition. And we've talked about the bias in our own favor and against our spouse. And so we want you to try to give your husband some grace here. We understand the hurt. If he would just be who you want him to be, you would be happy and you would respond to him even more. I get it. I know your motive, but the method is not always prudent. So I want to pray for you that you would be obedient to Ephesians 5:33, whether your husband responds or not. But in the long run, God doesn't command us to do something that proves to be ineffective. And so we need to trust him as we obey him. Father, we lift up this tender-hearted woman who is listening because she really is working on her marriage. And her husband may be indifferent. He won't even listen to the podcast, and he won't read the book. And so she sees all of her efforts So in the deepest sense, may she just do this because you've called her to do this. But also may she guard against those moments that may be sabotaging. We make so many loving deposits, but a fit of disrespect can make a withdrawal that bankrupts the emotional relationship. And I pray that she would be guarded, that really this is your call to her to be a woman of dignity, independent of her husband, and that you're using this to create that kind of dignity in her. Because she doesn't like herself, Lord, when she lets go. She just doesn't like herself. And you don't want her to have that self-contempt. And so I pray now that you would help her put on an attitude of respect, regardless of the response, but with the hope that there will be a response. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.